Weight training in my day was like an optional extra if you did it, and we were told off for doing it sometimes. And now
tell us about your training regime when you were playing. How much training do you do?
Well, I train twice a day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a certain friend of mine, Michael T, we train 3-4 times a day. And my career was finishing, his was taking off. And but we used to go weight training, we used to go running, and then we do the club training. Because if you're fitter, stronger, and everything else and so on, you'll last longer than the other man.
But that does sound to me like a lot of training for that time.
I think it probably was.
Yeah.
But that's the only way I knew how to do it. I can't think of any other way to do it. Yeah. Some very skillful players out there, very strong players out there. So the only thing was last for longer. Be stronger and last for longer.
Mm.
And hopefully come through that way. And say Mike Teague went on and had a fantastic career and built on very, very, a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
A lot of hard work. He went and trained so hard. He really did. We used to train with Dave Poynton, another Gloucester player, in the leisure centre. And Mike was always late. And we used to say, just one more, come on, just one more. He never gave any relaxation for it, you know. The big legs Poynton we used to call him, because he had huge great legs, Dave Poynton. He could kick a ball in the field or the other. And he was a schoolmaster at St. Peter's, which he's still doing.
Coaching old Pat still.
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I saw in the paper the other night. Mm. And he used to sort of give us the technical know-how to go weight training, really. And that was quite. We learnt a lot from him.
Do I recall correctly that Robinswood Hill figured in your training?
Yes,
as well?
It did indeed, definitely, yeah. The beast, as we used to call it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the beast, yes. You go around the bottom of the track and everything else and so on. As you come up the golf course, you hop over a fence and up a cinder track, and then it goes straight up to some picnic tables. Gosh, truth. I said, Tiki, when I die, it won't be ashes. I'm going to sprinkle some up there. I'm going to beat you up there one day. And it was a killer. It was a killer. And it's great running, and people talk about personal training, everything else and so on. Well, that's always there. It's always open. It's always free. And nine times, it'll always beat you. But it was great running, great fun. And we took Trevor up there a few times, Trevor Woolman and Phil Vickery once or twice. And then when we first starting out with Gloucester, Mike took him running and he fell over. And of course, they're laughing and cutting the socks off. But yes, great running up there. It's easy to do. It's not far to go.
I'm not sure easy to do is what I would describe it.
Well, I wouldn't say it was easy to do, but it's easy to get to, you know. There's no restrictions on getting there. It's just you've got to be there to do it.
Yeah.
And yes, we used to run up there. And I remember Mike Burton was captain once. I was in the fruit business those days. We got a lorry, piled him on the back of the lorry, and a chap called Gary Mace drove the lorry. And he drove the lorry there, and we got up there, all piled out, all ran up the hill, but the lorry had gone. But we went down the hill the other side, did some exercise, came back up, and then came back down. Of course, the lorry had gone, run back to King's Home. Yeah. That didn't go down too well. That was very popular. But Bert and I had been running and running and running, and had John Watkins as well, so we did quite well on the way back. But some caught lifts and taxis, buses, phone wives, or stopped off on the way home to the houses. Yes. But yes, so Robinswood Hill used to feature quite largely in it. We used to go up there in the summer as well. We used to meet the old Cryptians rugby ground and run from there and up another top and round by Sainsbury's School and come back round. So yes, it has featured quite prominently. Yes.
You still look very fit today.
I like your optician.
You're keeping it up, are you?
Maintenance is the word now. Right. Maintenance. There's no such thing as improvement. I try and train. I go to the gym 5 days of the week.
Yeah.
But it is strictly maintenance.
Yeah.
It's no improvement now. It's just trying to push back sands of time. But it's getting hard work.
One of the things that you commonly hear from front row forwards is that nobody else has any idea what's going on in the front row, including the referee, or perhaps especially the referee. So tell us, what did go on in the front row?
Well, it's the only place in the field you actually meet somebody for a physical confrontation. I know centres, though, they line them up and everything else, somebody. You're not actually locked horns with a guy. You're going to tackle him, and he's going to tackle you. But you're actually physically very close to somebody and physically trying to impress upon him you're the better man. So there's a lot of skullduggery used to go on. Less so today. There's less opportunity to do that. There's more penalty if you are caught at it. And so I think, yes, they scored the dark arts and everything else and so on. But you ask all the piano players, the guys in the backs, they need good piano shifters so the piano players can play.
Yeah.
Because unless they get the ball in the right situations and the right pace and everything else and so on, they might as well go home. And so a lot of unseen work goes in there. You know, if you haven't got a front row, suddenly you find that the sides are crumbling. And this one, they, in fact, professionalism brought in. You know, they didn't have had a replacement front row on the bench, and sides were basically running out of a front row forward, putting a back row forward on their non-contested scrums and running like lunatics. So in France, they brought that procedure in. They had to have a complete front row on the bench. They have no uncontested scrums. And so that's the reason I think, you know, people thought, well, we can get away with this one. And you don't blame them. If you've got a front row that's competed so far, yeah, guy's a bit tired, well, we haven't got a man on the bench, so we'll put a back row forward in the front row, and he can't be hammered, because I remember Bill Beaumont playing for England in the front row in Australia, yeah, and not doing a bad job, and Berto got sent off. But we used to love it if we get somebody in the front row who wasn't the front row player. Oh, here we are, here is his easy street time now. But adversely to that, I don't think we play very well in the second row or the back row. Yeah. You know, probably find lurking in that area, but wouldn't play very well. And so I think it was, you know, the game changed as far as that went, yeah, dramatically.
What do you think are the most important attributes in a prop forward?
Today, I think he has to be a bigger version of a back row forward, or more of a grinding than a back row forward, but a back row forward. I think the game today has changed. You can see they all play in pod systems. It's more like a rugby league game. And the scrummaging today still counts, as you've seen by sides that suddenly don't scrummage. But there's not so much emphasis on that as though it used to be, I don't think. And I think it's more about their awareness of playing the game, the tackle count, and the handling abilities. And I watched a bit of the Leicester game against London Irish, and there's front row forwards there flicking, you know, Donoberto flicking the ball through the legs,
yeah,
and Gastro Giovanni was on sidestepping and going in from 25 yeah, yards out.
Oh, he had a great game.
Oh, unbelievable! What a character, isn't he? Yeah. Just looks
wonderful.
He looks totally a throwback to it all, doesn't he? Really,
you have to say he enjoyed it as well.
Oh, didn't he ever? Yeah. Didn't he ever? I think everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Even neutrals enjoyed it, didn't
yes,
they?
That's yeah, right.
You know, but you see front row forwards, you know, like Phil Brick has got tremendous skills. I remember seeing Trevor when he played against the All Blacks, you know, sell a dummy and go from 22 yards out, and he was outstripping the defence. And so I remember Frank Cotton playing in the World Sevens squad, when England actually won the World Sevens as they were then, because of his ball handling ability. And I think today it's even more important. I think, and also the lifting of the lineouts, you know, the great John Hayes from Ireland. You don't get 100 cats to your country without that, and have some ability. Oh, they say suspect scrummaging and all this sort of business, but Ireland's done pretty well. Munster's been done pretty well. So that rather disproves that a little bit, or takes a weight out of that argument. But his line-out work is second to none. The height of him, he can hike these guys up now way up into the sky. You can't touch him. So really, if you've got a hooker who can throw, there's no reason why they shouldn't win every ball, really, nearly.
And how would you contrast that with your playing days, you know? What were the main attributes you look for in a prop then?
Prop then was really to block off the opposition most of the time. There was a lot of, I think, blocking in lineouts, blocking in everything else and so on. And I think you had to be durable. You had to be durable because there weren't the replacements like they are today. You used to, and that was it. And that was only the major games. So club games hardly ever happened. You were out there. Funny if I came from Gloucester and cup game up at Newcastle against Gosforth as we were then, and Sarge went off in the first few minutes and I came on to replace him at loose end. We lost the game, but it was they had Roger Utley, Malcolm Young, Gus Gutt and one or two others playing there, and it was a hard fought game and we just lost, and you know, we didn't do very well. John Player Cup, I think. But I think The prop forwards have definitely changed today. The game's changed. The game's faster. Use it or lose it was a fundamental thing in rugby. Before, you couldn't hardly lose the ball. It was like the six tackle rule in rugby league. That's why we brought that in. So they had to kick it or something had to happen. And in rugby union, use it or lose it, I think was a fundamental thing in the game. Changed the whole essence of the game. Because, oh, I remember playing against the university sides, and they were the fit teams around, really, because they used to train, and, you know, lessons in the morning, games in the afternoon.
Mm.
And they were fit lads and everything else and so on. But if you gave them the ball, they'd run you to death. But if you denied them the ball, you come in here and get it, and we, you know, slow them down, crunch them up a bit, we were okay. But if you started spreading it wide, they'd eventually run you off your feet.
Mm.
So you can't keep the ball unless you're using it.
Yeah.
Fundamental.